Let us pray a second. Father, again we approach your throne at this time now, more specific than ever, for your word, Lord. We pray you bless the reading of it, O God, opening our understanding that Jesus Christ might be glorified. We should give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now last night I brought one of two messages which I feel are very, very necessary to understand in order to realize when Brother Branham was really teaching, when he taught the two spirits at the end time would be so close that all but the very elect would be deceived. Now this is not the general understanding of the multitudes of people who call themselves Christians. It just simply is not. They have such cliches as millions now living will never die. I have said that if anybody can find that in the Bible, I'll rob any bank in America, even Rockefeller, and give them all the money. You see, I can say that because I'm on safe grounds. The verse is not in the Bible. The very contrary is there, however, that there'll be very few at the end time. But the people today more or less teach cliches. They teach for doctrine their own ideas and understanding. And as I said, it's very, very foreign for them to believe that at the end time there could possibly be such a deception in this world as to literally have a well-meaning, well-intentioned, and a trying to be spiritually minded people enter into an antichrist system whereby they literally worship the devil thinking it's God. And yet this is exactly what's going to take place at the end time, and only a handful of the elect will not be deceived. So I spoke last night on righteousness and unrighteousness. Now it's on tape, it's a good tape. I mean by that the quality is good. And you're welcome to borrow the tape or make one for yourself. Now this morning I want to bring the second message, all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And they go hand in hand. One elaborates the other. All deceivableness of unrighteousness. Now I hope I can come back in the future and we'll get together and teach on the manifestation of sons of God and some of these other things that Brother Branham brought up. But this morning in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 8 to 10, all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Beginning at the verse 8, then shall that wicked, that really lawless one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, not Eli, the lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now you know there's no language like the language of the Bible. And this text has the most startling language in it, for it says all deceivableness of unrighteousness. It just lets you know that everything that can be summed up in unrighteousness is going to happen at the end time to bring a people under an antichrist system wherein the world will be worshiping the beast and thinking they're actually worshiping God. In other words, it's going to be the harvest, the full cup. See, remember, fill ye up the cup of your fathers. It's going to be an absolute fullness. All deceivableness of unrighteousness. It's all going to be here in a terrible harvest. Now, how can the church fall into such a terrible condition? See, how can it? In view of the conditions we see in the world today, when there seems to be a move toward God, we've seen revival such as the world's never seen. There's talk of revival in the world. How in the world can it be? Where did it all begin? And what is the history behind it? Now, first of all, it speaks of deception. The deceivableness, the deception of unrighteousness. Then it speaks of the unrighteousness itself. And it puts the two together, so that the two together, the deception of unrighteousness, is going to actually bring the people together to worship God and be fooled, so they're not worshiping God. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. See? And this is why I say the language is so peculiar. It kind of just, if you catch it, it kind of makes you want to go to pieces. See? Well, who would be saved? Well, what's this? What's going to happen? It's a most dynamic description, and yet it's an awe-inspiring and terror-striking description. Now, let's get this straight. This is the church. It is not communism. Many people say it is, but it is not. It is not civic or federal or international government by political forces. It's the church in a complete takeover, and it's she herself ending up claiming to worship God, but will worship the devil through a church system. Now, listen, just like when the devil got into those Jews in the days of Jesus. I'm giving you a direct quote from Thus Saith the Lord by the prophet. This church system, this worship of the Antichrist, this awfulness, this deceit, this harvest, what will it be when people realize, if they do, what's happened? Now, Brother Branham gave us a parallel. He said it's just like when the devil got into those Jews in the days of Jesus, when he could turn and say, in spite of the fact that they had the only place to worship, Jerusalem, they had the only temple, they had the only sacrifice, they had the only word, they had the only system, they had everything. And he said, the devil got into them. That's what he said. You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you do. In vain do you worship me. See? The very same thing is going to repeat. And this is that church system that's coming on the earth right today, that is going to deceive everybody but the elect. Now, never forget what I taught, if you remember, years back here. Let me just go to Romans, the 9th chapter, and show you the condition of Israel. He said, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenant, and the giving of law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came. That's what they had. And he said, you are of your father the devil. And the church system where the devil got into them is what we're looking back on now to know what we're coming into. This is the church doing this. See, absolutely that's the word of God. Now, verse 3 proves it's the church. It says here, except there coming a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There is only one thing that can fall. That's the church. Because everything else has already fallen. It was in the book of Revelation, the 2nd chapter, when the messenger came to Ephesus by the Spirit of Almighty God and said, you've already fallen. See? Nothing else can fall. They're already fallen. Look, if I flopped on the ground, you say, Brother Dale, fall down. You've got to be sick. I'm already fallen down. What was it that God raised with him? The church. See? What was to be a glorious personage on earth fell in the first century. You know that's the Bible. He said, I'm going to rip out your candlestick. Did they ever recover? They never recovered. Every time God does something for the church and the church fails, the candlestick is gone. You never restore a Pentecostal candlestick. Come out of it. See? Oh my, I wish we could learn what the prophet said. I'm just giving you just what he said. Letter by letter, that's what we're supposed to do. Now listen. I also know it's the truth. Look what it says down here in the 10th verse. That they might be saved. There is no soul-saving institution outside of the church. I'm talking about the true church now. Let's prove it. We go over here to, let's say 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. That's about the one to start on. Just verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now listen, baptized into one body by the Spirit of God. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Ephesians. Chapter 1, 22-23. Not trying to use tricks of the Scripture, just explaining it. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What's the church? It's his body. Now listen, if you're in the body, you are saved and baptized with the Holy Ghost. See? So therefore, there's only one true soul-saving institution. And that's in the church. If you're born again, you got to be in the church. Right? And if you're in the church, you got to be born again. So now we're dealing with the church. This is Christianity that had its inception back there at the day of Pentecost when the 120 were in the upper room and they came down praising and glorifying God. Now read for yourselves if you have time. 1 Timothy 4, 1-3, and 1 John 2, 18, 19, and some other verses, but I'm going to read for you and look at 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1-9. Now listen, and know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times? What about the first day when they fed you the lions? Put you in the arena, put you in leather bags filled with snakes and threw you in the water, made you sacrifice. What about those times when if you went down the road and they saw you going out at night in the days of the Covenanters and they took you in then right away and abused you until you gave some kind of confession and destroyed all your loved ones and you? They weren't perilous times. They weren't the last days. Perilous times, different kind of peril. See, people say peril of life. That's peril. No, this is in peril of your everlasting life. This is in peril of your destiny. This is in peril of everything that you had hope for. It's in peril. Time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now look at it. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient the parent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Now listen, right away a person thinks, that's maybe a terrible bunch of people that live in sin, they're godless, they mug poor old ladies and grab their purses, they live on dope and then they steal and they rob and they just live terrible lives. They're like that Manson out there at the West Coast and those Soledad brothers and all of those things. No, sirree, listen. I realize that in the church you've got men who go to church and they'll take communion, live like the devil all day long. They'll go and confess to the priest. Or like down in Florida, they had a Presbyterian preacher there that when you wanted to join the church, you phoned up and said, "Sir, I want to join your church." You'll say, "Fine. How much money will you give each year?" "Fine, thank you. You're a member." Now, I know that there's stuff like that goes on. But in my thinking, these are shadow words that describe a spiritual substance. And each one of them, to me, has a spiritual meaning, which I can't go into now because I really don't haven't looked them all up. But why do I say it? Because it says having a form of godliness. See? But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women children laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, who are ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of truth. Now, these words up here don't describe that. What has a lover of self got to do with leading silly women captive, leading them astray, who are ever learning and trying to come to the knowledge of truth? This is a mental and a spiritual thing. Covetous, boaster, proud, blasphemers. You see, the words just don't go together. See? Supposing I'm saying here suddenly, I say, yes, I want to tell you, I'm describing an animal. It's got horns, it's got four legs, it's got an udder, and it's got a tail, and it looks like a swanning fly, and it looks like it's eating grass. I fooled you. It's a donkey. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense. Wouldn't make sense. It's a cow. And what these words up here, they're not describing the mafia down the corner. They're telling you what it is. See? It's in the church. They're strong physical words. They're strong shadows. See? That behind them is a substance. The reality lies deeper. It's in the church. It's not just men that join the church and live like the devil, which of course they could and they do. But this is different. Now listen, they creep into houses, lead captive silly women, laden with sins, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. This is your world council of churches here. Leading your women. Miss Pentecost, Miss Nazarene, Miss Assembly of God, Miss Church of Christ. Now, prove it here. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, which the Bible absolutely says they're going to do in the last day. And those that come to the knowledge of the truth will not receive the mark of the Antichrist, but they'll go on to be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, now listen, show further. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these men also resist truth. It tells you what this high-minded, this disobedience is, this unthankful and unholy. How many people today are really thankful that God sent an end-time prophet? Huh. Well, if we were just a little more than normal, slightly abnormal, with five fingers and three thumbs, and maybe five toes and four big toes, we could just about number them. So they're really thankful for God sending the prophet. Well, it's not quite that bad. I'm just giving you the picture in relationship to the world. It is that bad when I'm giving you a true picture of relationship to the whole world, brother, sister. 700 million Christians. How many really believe, Brother Branham? How many are thankful? How many are grateful? How many turn from the headiness and high-mindedness? How many turned away from being covetous and boasters? See? Now remember, disobedient to parents, we have it in our children. But remember, Paul said, I have begotten you to Christ, and I am your spiritual father in a great sense of the word. He said, you've got many teachers, but I want to tell you, you've only got one that brought you to Christ. See, I've begotten you, he said. The father's job is to beget. Now, see, now notice, men of corrupt mind. What is a corrupt mind? It's a mind that turns from the revealed word of God. Now you know that's the truth. I'll prove it in just a second. Now notice, reprobate concerning faith. You talk about a guy up here, he hasn't got any faith. These men don't have faith that are up here without natural affection. Truth breakers? How could a truth breaker have faith? That's the silliest thing in the world. See? God called the truth when he sent the prophet. Or I'm going to come and destroy everything. Now they're going to break that truth. See, the whole thing really is a spiritual commentary in the language of the day. Now let me show you. I'm going to prove to you about this reprobate faith. And they reprobate mind. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Look what it says here. Paul speaking, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What a wonderful thing that would have been for this man, Paul. A man so intensely sold out to God that he gave his very life for that nothing mattered but God and the people of God. Now, I'm going to present a bride. this is a thrilling, the crowning day of my life. But he knows what's going to happen. He said, but I fear lest any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through its subtlety, so your mind, M-I-N-D-S, should be corrupted. And you say, Brother Dale, it's the heart I'm worried about. Well, you go ahead. I'm not. See? That's the kind of preacher I'm. I'm a little insulting. I intend to be. Not to you people, but if you should be off track, you're going to get it anyway. Paul said, M-I-N-D-S, your mind. Not your heart. Oh, Brother Dale, my heart is so pure. And I love Jesus. Hallelujah. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. Who are you trying to kid? You made up your own religion. You're going the way of the mark of the beast. I'm not against love. I'm all for it. But I'm not dealing in that this morning. I'm dealing in what's reality here. What we're talking about. Where we're going to miss the mark. We're not going to miss the mark on the love. We're going to miss the mark here. Just where Paul said, he said, your minds, M-I-N-D-S, are corrupted. You've been fornicating, committing spiritual adultery by getting off the word. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not a knowledge, truth. Sure, that's the thing we're aiming at. All right, now we understand these things. We're not babies. That's what Paul said over here. But he said, now listen. Now he mentions from a corrupt mind, reprobate faith. Why? Because Paul said, if I say God raised Jesus and God raised him not, my faith is vain. Millions now living are never going to die. If we just love each other and be happy in Jesus, it's all right. If I just do this and I do that, no, my brother, my sister, when the truth flashes across our pathway, whatever little light we have turns to complete darkness if we don't accept, and whatever darkness we have goes if we do accept. See, this is the Bible. You know I have not said one thing that you cannot pin on what the prophet already taught you. Everything I'm telling you, somewhere in those tapes he said it. You know every word rings. I'm not trying to be like the prophet, but I'm going to stick to every word he said because he's vindicated man of God. Now, notice also, let me show you something here. We'll just take our time. Time stands still in eternity. You might as well stand still now because we already got the Holy Ghost. We're living in eternity. If you get hungry, we'll just try to preach good enough and nice enough so you'll forget being hungry. All right, Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat also with them. Let them both go until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You know, there's going to be two kind of reapers, because there's got to be a bundling and a gathering of wheat. Another parable put he forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like the grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. And when it is grown, the greatest among herbs, it becometh a tree, so the birds of the air came and lodged in the branches thereof. And another parable spake he, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole thing was leavened. And these things spake he in parables. Now listen, every one of these parables show that what God starts out to do right, somebody come and corrupts the whole thing until it becomes nothing but a program to engulf the whole world with the dirty birds and the branches, the filthy leaven in the meal, and the wheat tares taking over the wheat. Now this is the church. It categorically states that we are to look before Jesus comes for a complete breakdown of spiritual reality, except for some little reaper coming, bless God, that just pick up them little old grains of wheat. It doesn't say one thing about taking a clean bird out of a tree. Just let the dirty bird have the dirty tree. Just forget about the meal. Let it be leavened. Goodbye. Don't eat it. Just goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. It's all spoiled. All there is to do is to take the wheat out. Everything goes on to its corruption. It's a complete mess. Now, that's the Bible. I don't care what anybody teaches. I can't help what anybody teaches. I can't tell. I don't care how optimistic you are. I say, well, Brother Dale, I've got such great faith. You're a pessimist. Oh, no, I am not a pessimist. What kind of a mist I am? I don't go for the mist at all. I go for the sunshine. I'm a sunshinist. I go for the Word of God because He said the weed He'll gather. He'll put in His garner. The chaff He'll burn up. Let the birds take over. Let the leaven take over. Let the tares have their day. See what a mess it is? Now He uses three parables on that. All right, let's go back to Revelation 18 chapter. verses 1 to 5. After these things I saw another messenger come down from heaven, having great power and earth was light of His glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen. Now what is Babylon? Babylon was made by Nimrod. And this is the beginning of what? This is the beginning of the worship of God through a false system. Now remember, the Tower of Babel, they tell me, is still existent. It covers, I think, 13 acres in the form of a circle at the base. And all the 12 signs of the zodiac are on it. Now, as I recall, my memory is not too good, but I understand this is right. And what they did, nobody in his right mind would try to build an image to reach to the heavens. They weren't that big a fool. They built an image unto the heavens wherein they worshiped the signs of the zodiac in a heathenistic religion, the same which is the Bible written in the stars, which is what they will do at the end time, will be to base a religion on the perverted word of Almighty God and bring destruction, saying we're going to reach up millions now living will never die. And those that don't believe that will say like the Catholics, we will bring the Son of God down to worship on earth because of a great, tremendous religious revival. God coming to take over His kingdom. Isn't going to work. You see, it won't work because it's a mess. Now, fallen. It has become the habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the mustard tree for every unclean and hateful bird. And I put mustard tree in there, it's a cage, it's the same thing. See? But remember, a cage is different from a tree. They can come and go in a tree. But this is the last place the devils congregate. It's right in the Babylonian church system. It's a cage. And you know what? A cage means they can't get out. And you know why they can't get out? Because the people don't want them out. They love seducing spirits. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, spiritual. And fornication's in the mind. Remember, the whoring womb is the mind. Which means to take in the seed which not is the seed of God, which is not the seed of God. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Why do you think Mr. Nixon went over there and Mr. Johnson? They're kings. Yeah, they qualify for kings. Don't tell me they don't, because they do. They're all kings. They're all kings, a whole bunch of them. Anytime you take a supreme position in the nation, you're the king. I don't care what name you call it by. Just say, well, I choose to be a dictator. You're the king. You're the one. See? Now, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of delicacy. Wherever the church went, the merchants came and destroyed it. I can prove it to you. Every country was opened up through the blood of missionaries. And then merchandise came in and took over, and the church with its rottenness. Now I heard another voice in heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven. Notice where they reached unto heaven, the full cup. And God hath remembered her iniquities. Now He never did forget them. It's just time to do something about them. See, there is your church. Jeremiah, the third chapter. Verses 1 to 2. And that they say, if a man go and put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man, he shall return to her again. Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist. How many churches have we run to? Oh boy, let some of them. It's a church going is a revolving door. Now, yet return unto me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lying with. Why, he said, you committed adultery with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, till you can't see one person you haven't slept with. It's the same with the churches. He said, you committed spiritual fornication until you can't find one single church that isn't involved. Boy, that's going to hit some of them. When everyone says, well, now, I'm a Baptist, I've got it. I'm Presbyterian, I've got it. What do you mean by it? That's the thing. What is it? You think it's eternal life, but it's dead. In the ways thou hast sat for them. Sure. Come and join us. Be one of us. They loved it. See? As the Arabian in the wilderness. Now imagine, what would an Israelite be doing as an Arabian? You talk about being filthy. Sexual filthiness, which is spiritual here, which is because the same, one picture is the other. How filthy can you get? In the wilderness. And hast polluted the land with thy whoredom, with thy wickedness. And he said, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there's been no latter rain. And they're telling you that they're in the latter rain now that's going to take them to the kingdom, this outpouring, with their whoredom. Roman Catholic Church talking in tongues, Presbyterian, Methodist, all talking about the baptism and their latter rain? Oh, come on now. My Bible says different. Come out of her, my people. Get rid of that stuff. Let the wheat be picked from amongst the tares. See, this is the church. I want you to forget it and never, ever disbelieve it. This is the church. Now, we see so many scriptures pointing to the fact that it is the church system. We cannot help but agree that this is the church system of Christianity. Not just the church system, but the church system of Christianity that will lead the world into universal worship of Satan, who has deceived them into thinking that he is God, or that they're actually worshiping God through a church system and can get away with it. Now, when I was in Europe a little over a year ago now, I visited Dr. Guggenbuehl. And he told me, he said, Brother Dale, there's a great revival going on in Russia. He said, our scientists have gone to Russia. And they're astroscientists, astrophysicists. And he said, they have talked to these same astrophysicists in Russia. And they are believing God. They are turning to God. Are they turning to God? This is the question. Dr. Wormbrand writes the book. And he said, two young doctors, a man and a wife, were discussing a little conversation one day in a room. And as they were working, she said, you know, it is strange that the state wants us to believe there is no God. He said, that's right. And the state says, so there is no God, and shut up, because this place might be tapped. It might be bugged. And I don't want to hear you talking about God, we'll get put in prison. Well, she said, you mean to tell me that nobody made everything? He said, that's right, nobody made everything. Well, she said, now look at my thumb. Isn't it strange but how wonderful my thumb is? Without my thumb, my hand could not manipulate. And being a doctor, she gave many, many reasons. He said, will you kindly shut your mouth? He said, there is no God, there is nobody. She said, then fine, nobody made my thumb, so I'll worship nobody. See, this is what's going on. Now, this is where people are hunting, and they say, hallelujah, great revival, God moving, God here, God there. No, getting ready for the Antichrist. Because where's the revelation of God? If they're still going to worship the three gods, if they're still going to go to their Russian Orthodox church, if they're still going to fall under the jurisdiction of a false baptism under Pentecost, if they're still going to have man-made creeds and dogmas, then it is nothing but setting the trap for all of Russia and the rest to come in. Because Brother Branham himself said, the majority of people today in Russia, which we well know is the truth, are not atheists, so therefore they believe in something. I don't care where you go. There'll be a revival, I believe it. Oh, I believe there will be. I believe there'll be a sweep right into a church system. Because the Bible said he's going to prove that he's God. He's going to stand right up there. And remember, this fellow they'll accept. This one they will. You know, remember, Jesus never got very far. How far did Jesus get being God? Look now, let's face it, that he being God, got as little distance as he got. Let's not look to anybody or any combination of anybody. I don't care what they got from God to do very much. because they're not even God. You couldn't put a finger on him. He didn't have to have anybody correct him. William Branham had to be corrected. The opening of the seals corrected William Branham. You show me where they corrected Jesus. He said, which of you could confute me in one word? Find one word I'm out on. Put your finger one place in my life. He didn't get the first base. Speaking in terms of, you know, this great thing. He got all the way according to God. Now we're going to follow the same footsteps. You see, it's the church. What a terrible condition. Now since we know it and see it's the church and see how all these things are worked together, even in the communistic countries, let us look at our very text. Our very text says that they are going to be deceived. All right, that's over here in 2 Thessalonians, so I better flip over to it, turn over to it, so we just stay right with the Bible. Now, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Deceivableness means deceit or deception. In the Greek, it means delusion. Because a deceived person is a deluded person. Now, delusion means to believe something that is contrary to reality and thereby be deceived. Now, what's reality? Christ, the Word. To believe anything contrary to what is absolutely thus saith the Lord is delusion. Yeah, because you're believing something that isn't real. A deluded person. Now, here's the thing. We look at delusion. And we think of deluded people and we kind of go too far. See? And we think of deluded person, well, he goes around like this and, which hand is it Napoleon uses? How's his left hand or right hand? He's Napoleon. So the guy, Napoleon's been dead for years and this poor guy's been in the mental home for years and he's going around, he's Napoleon. Well, you say, that's delusion. No, that's just an extreme case of mental problem. See, we're talking scripturally. Now, delusion has degrees. It degrees. In other words, you believe a thing that isn't the truth. Now, like I've said before, I say, well, what one day if you take out a $20 bill and say, hey, let me see that $20 bill. Say, listen, do you know that's a counterfeit? It is? Yeah, look at that number. That's not the right number. That's counterfeit. Boy, you better get rid of that because if you're caught with that, well, I'm going to take it back where I got it. Oh, you better not because they'll just say you didn't get it there and they'll call the FBI and you could be in trouble. Hey, you know, you always said you'd like to light a cigar with a $20 bill. Now's your chance. So you call the guy lighting the cigar with a $20 bill and say, well, that's a good joke on you. You just did what you also want to do, which was to light a cigar at a $20 bill. You did it because I was just kidding. That was a real $20 bill. Now, you see, that's delusion, but that's just a joke. That doesn't do you too much damage. But supposing you're picking mushrooms, and you read the wrong book. And you said, hey, that's a black mushroom. Boy, according to Chinese recipes, that's the finest tasting mushroom there is. Boy, I'm going to get a mess of those things, and when I dry them, I'll use them in the wintertime, and what I don't dry, I'll eat now. And you eat them, you're dead. Now that's the kind we're talking about. We're talking about the mushrooms that bring death. We're talking about delusion that will bring eternal damnation. Separation from God, the lake of fire, everlasting destruction. Because, brother, sister, from this there is no recovery. At the end time, the church enters into deception. And there is no recovery. They take the mark of the beast and worship the beast through the church system, and they are eternally lost. The church will perish just like Egypt perished after Israel was called out. This is exactly what it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, and in verse 5. Verse 4. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. What's her plagues? The plagues of the great tribulation and the name out of the book. Come out of her, my people. See? Otherwise, your delusion will be unto death. It will be too late then, for then there will be no hope. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. The 6th chapter. Now watch it. This is the end time message. Brother Branham said so. You know it is. For it is impossible. Verse 4. Now it doesn't say highly improbable. Doesn't say maybe there's a last minute reprieve. It says it is absolutely impossible. God can do nothing. You can do nothing. As it might say, ain't nobody can do nothing. It is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. Not enlightened once, no. The Greek does not say that. The Greek says once for all enlightened. Now you know that's the way Johnny's slamming the door. He keeps banging the door. One day mother said, Johnny, once and for all, I'm telling you. Bang the door one more time, whap on the back of the neck. Well, he forgets. Slam the door. Slap. He's had it. That's what this means, once for all. That's the end of her. No more time. You've had it. No more warning. You disregard this. You regard it. You walk in life. You don't get the clunk on the head like Johnny got. No, you're free. You'll enter in. You disregard it. You've had it. Now listen. And, or that word in the Greek could be even. This tells you what you go through here. Even tasting the heavenly gift. Partaking of the Holy Ghost, taste the powers of the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, not if they shall fall away, having fallen away. Turning down the truth. You can never renew them again to repentance. Never again. It's all over. No repentance, like Esau. Cry all you want. Pray all you want. Try all you want. Why? Because they crucify to themselves. They can't crucify the Son of God afresh. You already had that happen. They crucify to themselves the Son of God. See? In other words, they personally take the hammer. They are personally responsible for a literal crucifixion of the Word, the end time message, and say, I'm nailing it up there and I'm against it. So, well, I don't take a strong stand like that. Then why don't you believe it? It's crucifying themselves. This is the big difference in crucifying Christ and crucifying themselves. Now remember the Roman soldiers did not crucify to themselves Christ. They crucified Christ. Big difference. We crucified if we turn this down. Now, I'm just quoting you the Bible. It says right here, enlightenment comes how? Enlightenment comes by a revealed word. There isn't any enlightenment outside the Bible. The entrance of thy word giveth light, and the entrance of the word is by a revelation. It's no other way, and you know it. I can memorize this book from top to bottom and never get to God. I know a guy out here, as I've told you about, in Denver, Colorado. Man, you mentioned John 5 and maybe 3, whatever that is. I don't know. Can't quote it myself. He'll tell you. Then you quote maybe Revelation 16 and 4. And he'll tell you where it is. And yet he believes there's a hole at the North Pole and little brown men come out of there flying saucers. That's the thing. This is something that we're not talking about, it's simply a word knowledge. This is the thing that makes me sick even about the Brother Branham message. Quote, 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 quote. Oh, how they can quote it. But boy, look at the spirit behind it. I heard a tape the other day by one guy that got up there and he quoted everything that I believe. And the first thing he said, now he said, God put this message on my heart. Oh, I'll be criticized for preaching it. Oh, you won't agree. Right, he was hard. When he gets through preaching, he said, nothing that I believe. But by the time he got through preaching, if I had been a fool, I would have lost all faith in what I've got right here to bring me to where I'm going to go. And I said, if I ever heard the devil in his subtlest, seducing voice, I heard it on that tape. I sent it up to my good friend Joe Coleman. He didn't know what was coming, so he said, hey, what are you talking about down there? Oh, I said, Joe, wait till you get my tape. So I phoned him and he said, "Wow, wow, 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 do I see what you mean." And yet people sat there. See? Quote all you want. I don't care what you quote about Brother Branham. If you can't put it together by the word of Almighty God, you don't have a revelation as far as I'm concerned. Or much of one. I don't want to get too tough here because some people are kind of lazy. Others, they just don't have the capacity. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I want to make this abundantly clear. Anybody can quote the prophet just like you can quote the Bible. But brother, sister, it's the entrance that gives light, that makes you to know, that lines up and just shows you Christ standing right out there. His brother Branham said, "I agree so heartily." He said, "Every word in that Bible points to Christ, the Psalms, the history, the law, the prophets." And he said, "If you don't see him the first time you read it the second time, you're going to find him there." Amen. I like that. Hallelujah. It's exactly the truth. Now it says here that if they don't hear this end time message, the once for all. Now remember, the once for all message. Remember, Israel does not have anything in terms of a message. They have two witnesses. We have the messengers. See? Israel's a nation does not get enlightened. The church gets enlightened. Remember, before God, she is a holy priesthood. She's a royal nation, a peculiar people, if she'd only come up to it. The enlightenment comes. Remember, the light shines in the bride because Christ is in the bride. He is in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven golden candlestick is the bride, one golden branch for every golden age, and the voice is in her. And Christ cannot say come except through the bride. The Spirit and the bride say come. She's in there. He's in there. The voice of God. Well, God's in there. The message is in her. And they turn it down. And brother, sister, when they turn it down, it's dead. Now it says, listen, for the earth which drinketh in the rain. Now remember, rain basically in the Bible is the Word. Secondarily, it is the Holy Ghost. Now remember, Word and Holy Ghost are the same thing. Sure thing. Just like God, Spirit, Father, Son, same thing. No difference. Also, just revelation, just an appeal, just an approach. That's all it is. The man that was the boyfriend is now the husband. The man whose husband is now the father. The man as the father is now the grandfather. No difference. Just the approach, just the gate, just how you're viewing it. Word and Holy Ghost, same thing. Now the Word descends as rain. Now how often is often? Well, how often does God do a thing in quick? Five. And two. Seven, right? So, he doesn't do it eight times, nine times, ten times. Seven. And he starts over, then says, God does everything how? Seven. Because seven is what? Conclusion, perfection. Just like three is the number of God, seven is perfection, conclusion. All right, how often did he send the word? Seven times. You turn it down, what happens? He tells you right here. He takes you to the harvest. The earth bringing forth tares, the earth bringing forth wheat. Now listen, what was it that got planted back there? Wheat, tares. What was it? Word, word. Where are we? Right down here at the word again. God comes on the scene in the last day, gives us the former rain, which is the replanting of the word of God, and along comes the enemy to pervert it. Now he said, where are you going to go? Now listen. Briars will be burned. This is the harvest because you do not burn briars any other time than in the harvest. So every time you hear of a fire and burning, it's got to be at the harvest. You don't talk about a fire in the springtime. You don't talk about a fire in age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's impossible. The fire has got to be at the last. So this is the last age message. Right? Surely. Now, but notice. What these people had. Enlightenment. Brother, sister, before God, was there ever an age outside the early age and even greater than the early age than this age when the Word came? Where do you find in history anybody say, bring me 24 of your worst cases, I guarantee him. Where do you find anybody in the scripture or in history that stood on the platform and said, I don't know if he will come, but we'll see if he will come. He's here. And stands, I bring every spirit in this building under my control for the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ and prove it. You find me that in history. You find me where a man had a vision 3 years before a little boy dies in Finland. And he goes over there, sees that little boy, says, I've seen this kid before. No, you didn't see him. You never went in here. I know this place. We've been here. He said, no, you weren't here. He said, that it's a vision. Opens the Bible. Now, he said, if I don't raise that boy from the dead, call me a false prophet. Walked over in the name of Jesus Christ, son, receive your life. Broken bones come together with blood all over the floor, his bones jutting through his pants. Stands on his feet. Show me that in history. I want to know where it is, because I'm basing my faith on this. I figure, brother, sister, if I'm in the realm of business and I've got $800 million, I can wipe out a man with $600 million. I can buy him out. But if there's a man with $801 million, he can buy me out. And I don't know anywhere in history I've seen anybody with $800 million of spiritual reality like William Branham. So I'm sticking where the money is. I mean faith gold, pure faith gold, because that's what faith is. Tried faith is gold in the Bible. All right, now listen. He said, but, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, and you can taste the heavenly gift. You can be enlightened. You can be a partaker of the Holy Ghost. You can know the power of the world to come, and you can still go right away from it and say, well, it wasn't nothing to it after all. After all, how come, well, if he's the prophet of God, how come God smeared him across the road in an accident? Yeah, I heard he was drunk. Maybe he was after all. Well, I admit Brother Branham was a great man, but after all, I've got something to you. Yeah, and I don't want it. Oh, brother. Give me a fan that's a stench in my nostrils. Why not? God's nostrils get full of stench too. I shouldn't mind. If I got a little bit of God, I know why. I know things that doesn't smell good. How many left me? How many left the Word? In the meantime, how many didn't even want the Word? Just because he believed in Jesus' name and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is absolutely scriptural. I want to find one scripture anywhere, even in history, for the first 2 centuries or even 3, where anybody's baptized any other way. Even your history proves it. The Didache, which is supposed to be the oldest book ever written, says absolutely if you weren't baptized in the name of the Lord, you couldn't even take the Lord's Supper. That's absolutely what it says. Now you know that's the truth. You studied it. All right, listen. They die. It will be too late to learn. It is then death. Because the last plague in Egypt was death, so will it now be spiritual death. The church and all systems go to their death. Now listen, and the sacrifice that they believed in will avail nothing. So, Brother Bale, I believe in the sacrifice. Don't you tell me my sacrifice is gone. What about when he gets off the mercy seat? What about when you don't have a mediator? A mediator gets you in. The intercessor keeps you in. Now, if the sacrifice is there, but you don't have the mediator to get you in, how are you going to get in if you turn it down? What about Egypt? They came out by a sacrifice, but they failed to go in because the Word would take them in and they turned the Word down. The Word was not mixed with faith in them to believe it. Now, Moses came on the scene and he said, I've heard from God. And he proved he heard from God. And he said, now, gentlemen, listen. Gentlemen, take the blood and put it on the lintels and on the doorposts. They said, now hold it, Moses. Hold it. Look. Look. We know all about the blood. Abraham offered blood. In the Garden of Eden, they offered blood. Jacob offered blood. Where can you show us that they ever put it on a doorpost and on the lintel? Now, right today, they're saying, well, we believe the Bible for years. Oh, we've had the Holy Ghost for years. We got a sacrifice. I've taken my identification. Hallelujah. When I went in that water and I came up, I said I was dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, don't you tell me I haven't got it. So Moses said, all right, die. Well, they got kind of scared then. Well, they said, okay. You look like you've got a little authority to say these things, so all right, we'll take the blood and slap it up here and here. You see, they said, we're circumcised. We've got the covenant. You know what Paul said about circumcision? He said, if you're circumcised, you're dead. If you go back to what you had your faith in originally, you're dead. Sure was a sign for that day. Are you getting this? Don't you see where Luther stands and the Westons and the Pentecostals? It's dead. Circumcision won't avail anymore. It won't avail because the Holy Ghost came as sanctification, sanctification. He came as sanctification. He came as restoration and the baptism. Now it's a restored word. And I don't care what your circumcision was before. Are you circumcised unto Christ this morning by the word of the prophet that was indicated? See, I know you are, but I'm putting this way that you can help somebody else, see? Maybe pass the tape along and jar somebody real good to get them to see the truth, because we know what we talk about. See? I'm circumcised, they said. Moses, I don't care how circumcised you are. Put that blood or you perish. Now they put the blood on, they all walk out. And 2 out of 2 million over 20 years of age get in the promised land and all the rest die. Why? Because the word which was preached, the same word we get, because it's the same word of God. He never changes. That same word was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And their faith then was vain because they had to believe something else. And you know what it was? Leeks and garlic. Let's go back to Egypt. They said, well, bless God, you guys, you're all time fighting. I don't care if we fight like a bunch of tomcats with our tails tied together and thrown over a clothesline. I'm still going to stick with this. I will still not go back to being the dear old peaceful death of a Baptist, a Pentecostal, or a Methodist. Hallelujah, ain't it sweet? No, I won't. No, sir, I don't care how they fight. I don't care how they horse around. I don't care how they cut each other's throats. I don't care how they vie for to put each other in camps. And one guy comes along and tries to be so nice to win you, like Absalom sitting in the gate, saying, now, if I were king, I'd be so nice to you. My father David, I love my father David, but he's not fair. Or someone comes along with a club and says, you better believe me because I want to tell you, I hunted, I fished, I knew the prophet. You better believe me. I don't care what he says. And I don't care if he sneaks along and says, well, I want to tell you, I was his most trusted friend and we really talked theology. That's where I could come in on the theology part. But don't you believe Lee Vail? No, I don't believe you. I got nothing to tell you. I'm just doing my best to tell you what he said. Because I ain't got no faith in what I'm saying at all if it comes from me. I got to keep checking in fear and trembling. I got no faith in what I've got to say. I only got faith if I'm saying what he said. I've got faith in what he said because I know that he can prove it. I can't prove nothing. It's like trying to write your name on a check for $50 and you haven't got 5 cents. You won't only get caught for NSF, but if you haven't got your name in the bank, you'll be thrown in jail for worse than that. And I don't intend to be thrown in for this. I'm going to stick with the prophet. See, this is the truth. Spiritual death. The sacrifice does not avail if we're not in the Word. Now, this is a mouthful, and this is a rough one. I mean, it is. I realize this is exactly what we're up against and why everybody's going to hate it. They'll say, well, who do you guys think you are in? You see, Vandenberg, who do you think you're in? Why don't you go back to plowing the field or getting a couple of mules out there and getting yourself a farm or something? You try to tell us that you've got something me and you got. My landlord can't understand this. He said, what about anything? You guys talk like you're the only ones going to be in heaven. Well, we got a little trick on that because we know we ain't going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven on earth. So we say, oh, we never said that. Oh, there's going to be lots in heaven if you like it that way. We're not going to worry one little bit when he's got his mind on. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. See, why didn't Brother Branham come to our church? They hit him. Look, if I know I'm going to get a boot in my teeth opening your door, you find me in the Bible where I'm supposed to go and open your door just to get a boot in my teeth. It already said, don't cast your pearl before swine. And when Paul wanted to go down to Asia, he said, you're not going. You're going to Macedonia. We're not fools. See, oh, there'll be a lot of excuses, but it isn't going to work. See, the church goes through a spiritual death. Remember, Israel walked through Palestine all those years. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. Nobody got sick. Everybody was healthy. In other words, God was literally performing a millennial experience upon their bodies with a few trials thrown in. And they said, we can't take this. No, we can't take this. And they went back on home. That's the church. Now, the original deception brought death. This is deception we're talking about. This is that delusion in the church. It brought death. It's over here in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. Now see, we go to Genesis because that's what Brother Branham taught us to do. You've got to go to the beginning. If you can find it here, you'll find it in the Revelation. You'll know what you're talking about. 3:13. The Lord said to the woman. Now she represents the church. She came out of Adam. What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Which that means the serpent deluded me. And in the Hebrew, it's a deception which is physical and moral and mental. She was absolutely gone. That's exactly what we're talking about the church at the end time. It hasn't got a prayer. See, it goes. It absolutely goes. Now, you know as well as I do that's true, because the only ones who escape the great tribulation, that is, escape the penalty of eternal death, are those who refuse to take the mark of the beast, and they just die for it. They usually starve to death because they can't buy and sell. And they'll say, now look, people, look, we're trying to be good to you. Do you want to ruin this whole system? Look, there's just a handful of you guys and billions on the earth. What kind of a God are you serving that you would louse up our system to feed all of these dear folk? Now, can't you, if you understand and come in? They say, no. No. Well, you understand, then you've got to die. Of course, we'll give you a nice funeral. We'd love to take care of you. We can't do this. We just can't. We can't afford to sacrifice all these people for you. It'd be done. Oh, they're going to make it real sweet night. Don't worry. This is the deception. Remember, listen, folks, remember, if the lie repeats, Eve was not raped. She was seduced. And seduction means she was sweet talked into doing something she just loved to do, thinking it was just very nice and was all very wrong. See, remember that. Sure, I can see that. I believe that with all my heart. Now, there'll be a lot of rough things going on, too. But they're going to try the sweet talk. Don't worry. Eve was beguiled. She was beguiled by the serpent. She believed something that's contrary to the truth. Now, remember, this woman, Eve, was not possessed by a devil. She was not mentally broken down. She is not some retarded creature or some sub-creation who needs to evolve further. But she was a perfect, fine, wonderful person, very reasonable, very unassuming. But in spite of all of that, she is deceived, which means she believed the wrong word. Her believing is wrong. Now remember, this is the starting point of the whole thing. Her believing is wrong. Now never mind what she did. Now right away, here's where people always want to go off track. What did she do? What did she do? What did she do? Never mind what she did at this point. That hasn't got a thing to do with it at this point. It's what went on up here that caused her to do what was down here. See? That's where your psychiatrists are smart. They say, the man says, rest that fellow for doing that terrible deed. The psychiatrist says, hold it. He said, that's not quite normal. I got to find out why he did it. Now, when I know why he did it, I'll understand something. See, the Christian today, he's not in that category. It's always what, do, see? You gotta start at where the bullet went off the path. And the bullet went off the path because she believed wrong. See? What she did was the consequences of her wrong believing. Now, if I got wrong faith, I'm going to get a consequence. I'm going to die for it. Go to the lake of fire. See? That's the consequence. Now then, this being the truth, I have got to have the right faith now to put me in the kingdom and the rapture. See? Then if this is it, I can't have one shred of delusion. I cannot be sweet-talked. I cannot be coerced. I cannot be pushed. I cannot be anything. I'm sold out to God and His Word. And I don't have one question in my mind. Well, what did he mean here? What did he mean there? I say, Lord, if I need to know, show me. I don't understand, but I believe it. Eve didn't need to go into all the ramifications, got her into the nest. She just should have said, well, God said so. I'll just call my husband, and he agrees with you, then it's servant, it's okay. But he'll have to act on his own. But as for me, I've just been told different. And I've just got to say what I've been told different. Well, but see how, I said, I don't care. I mean, I'm not looking at those things. See, I've got to get back to that root, see? And that's the root. Now, notice, if her believing had been right, she never would have gone wrong. She never would have sinned. Now, that's the truth. That's God's Word. What she did was an attribute or a manifestation or outcome of her mental attitude toward the truth, that's reality, which was the Word of God. Now, when she left the truth, she was deceived or deluded. The serpent said she would not die if she partook of the forbidden fruit. Eve believed the word of the serpent. She disbelieved God's word. Well, I believe God's word and join a church. I believe God's word, baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I believe God's word and believe three gods. No, no siree, that's fornication. Now listen and try to get this. In all history, now this is right, in all history, there never was, nor could there ever be, another lie greater than this one, because it caused the fall of the entire race of the born ones of God. God said, replenish the earth. And this act of Eve brought every one of those children of God into sin and death. It reached right into the very heart of God that would be displayed here upon earth and brought a defilement into the family of Almighty God. These living seeds, which were all in Him, and then placed through Adam, see, every son was death doomed by this deception. Every son was death doomed by this deception. She didn't have to do one thing. The minute that she disbelieved, every seed was heir to corruptibility. See, this, there is no lie or deception like it. This is the lie that we're told of in 2 Thessalonians. All other lies spawn from this one. All other falsehoods are merely another form of it. And remember, the lie is to repeat at the end time. It will deceive every single person unless God does something to prevent it. That's just what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and Matthew 24:24. And as the first deception, now listen, as the first deception brought the fall, so the lie at the end seals all the fallen ones into the harvest of death. Believe it and you're gone. Notice also, this worship of Satan, wherein people think they're worshiping God, comes to us in a certain way. It's over here in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Comes in a certain way. It comes with signs and wonders and with the complete sum total wrapped up of deception. And remember what the sum total of deception was first? D-lies. It's going to repeat. It sure will. Listen, the pattern was set in Eden. Now see how Satan did it. He took a smart and beautiful, sensuous, subtle creature to turn Eve from the truth to human reasoning. The rottenest act in all history, the most deceitful and unrighteous act. It was the most deceitful, unrighteous act in all the world took place in Eden, and it's going to repeat. The woman which represents the church was deceived by brilliant wisdom and made to believe that life eternal, can come apart from the seed of eternal life, which is the Word. You follow me? She absolutely thought that eternal life can come apart from the origin or the seed of eternal life, which is the unadulterated Word of God. She thought it could. But it can't. He won't do it. Notice, she had to cast aside the Word of God first before she could sin. Just what Brother Branham said. Then only could she sin. Isn't that exactly what Paul said would happen again to the bride? He said, I fear lest Satan should beguile you in your mind, that you should receive another gospel, another Christ. Who was Jesus to Paul? He was Jehovah, God manifest in flesh. What is he now? Second person of Godhead. Receive another spirit. What was that spirit? Paul said it was the spirit of Jesus Christ himself. Christ come back as the Holy Ghost from the church. What does the church say? Third person of the divinity. It's all gone. The whole thing is a lie. You know, isn't that funny? There's something about God that's most peculiar. He can be the most lied about person and never turn a hair for judgment day. And boy, can you turn him into good business. Now, if I go uptown and I'm going to sell glasses, I got to buy the frames and all, and then I got to put a profit on them and I make some money. But with God, I can get him for nothing and sell him for a million. He's the greatest racket there is. And the devil knows it and people know it. You see what I mean? You just take God like a chunk of putty. Where is God? What's he doing? He's right up there at his records. The books are being made up day by day, day by day. The books are getting bigger and bigger. Every act, every thought. Remember, Brother Branham said, your thoughts are recorded louder than your voice. That's right. You can kind of tease a person. You know, like a little bit of a jibe, you know. Don't mean it. It's not going to hurt you. Now, if they get hurt, you've got to kind of apologize. But if your heart's really right, that's what's really going to count there. Your thoughts are what really counts. You know, we all do little things. That's what people misunderstand. See? Sure enough, but here now. Paul said it's in that mind. That mind's going to go away. And he told us how it was going to be done in Acts 20 because he said the elders would do it. That's Acts 20, 25 to 30. He said, even now amongst you, there are men who will rise up and pervert this word. They're going to change it, see? Now, Eve thought. Now watch this very carefully. I'm reading it to you. Eve thought that she could have God and faith in God and unbelief in His word at the same time. I got great faith in God. Hallelujah. I believe God. What about the prophet's word? Oh, well, well, now listen, that serpent seed, I tell you what, that's just a little too far-fetched. Well, what about the fact that there's only one God? Oh, no, the Holy Church says there's three. See, now, you can't have faith in God. You can't do it, brother, sister. It's impossible. You cannot have God in your life and faith in God, see, and turn down that word. It just won't work. She died for it. And they will do it again. Thus it is written, and thus it will be because God and unbelief in the revealed word of the day cannot go together. And I'm going to prove it to you. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's go to John 15. Now, I'm not trying to work up a good case for us because this is wrong. I'm just here teaching the word. Because anybody can work up a case for what they want, but we're vindicated. John 15, 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. The revealed word of God. They turned it down and they went right into sin. And that's what it said in the book of Hebrews. They turned down the word of God. They went into sin. They died. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 at the end time, turn down the word of God, you're dead. Then how can you have God, or I have God, and faith in God, and turn down the revealed word of the hour? It's absolutely impossible. Brother, sister, it won't work. God have pity on us. It isn't going to work. I don't care. You see what I'm driving you to show you where we're coming to? That world counts the churches? That spirit so close? Brother, sister, it's going to be so close, absolutely just what Brother Branham told us. Maybe we believed it, but I trust this morning we don't just believe it, we know it. That our faith goes from believing to an absolute basic knowledge that we say, and look, say, I know it. Say, well, Brother Dale, doesn't that make you kind of hard? Look, Christ said his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. I better have a flinty face too, and so do you. We're not here to argue and fuss with people. Life doesn't consist of arguing and fussing. Neither does it consist of throwing your pearl before swine. It consists of believing this word and standing on it. Giving the reason of your confession, which is the vindicated minister. William Branham, we know where we stand. But we must know also wherein we stand. Hallelujah. Listen, let's go to John 9 and 41. Look at it. Here's a beautiful verse about the man born blind. Remember, Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. That's exactly what the Laodicean church said. Said, we're not blind, we can see. Now look, if they had recognized blindness, they would not have said we don't need a thing. What do you need, Laodicea? Oh God, I need my sight. What do you need, Laodicea? Don't need a thing. Can you see? Oh, see perfectly. Hallelujah. You need a little money? Oh, I'm rich. Oh, say, everything good, never had it so good. A little bit of wretched? Oh, wretched, no, listen, hallelujah, why, this is tremendous. Why, we got so much, we can even organize our businessmen to get together and tell us how much money they got and how nice it is that if they're serving God, shouldn't you poor folks serve God too? Oh, brother. I'm not being sarcastic, I'm being honest. Where'd you get that nonsense because the guy's got a buck to be somebody? You know that's the first place to get really hurt is with a dollar bill. They that would be rich. Who did God curse, the union man or the guy that got all the money? The book of James tells you, go to your rich man, weep and howl. I'm not against union as long as they don't go too far. God never said one thing about the working man trying to get an honest buck. He just said, do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. But he said, you rich men, he said, you're the one. You're trying to make all that money out of all the things I put here, and you haven't got a heart? Why did they raise up billions of dollars and leave their wives and kids all that money when they should put it back in industry in order to make more jobs for more men? That's what God wants. The government will tell you that. And the government goes out to be crooked and rich guy. You're not going to win. It's all over. It's all over. It's all over. It's all the gold and the silver is corrupted. Why? You can't corrupt gold and silver. It's the guy that's got it. Dirty dollar to this. What we got is a dirty dollar. Paper money. We're a mess. There's no place to go up but up or fall apart. Listen, I'm telling you, it's all over. We can't stand this pace. I go home and I just like a puffball ready to disintegrate. So don't you have peace of God? I got peace of God toward God and anything, but I can't have these other things with any peace. You look around and everything that drives you to distraction. Sure, you can have the peace of God and the love of God and all those things, but don't tell me you're going to be absolved from all these cracks out here you're getting hit from every side. billboards 14 feet high portraying this miserable thing and that miserable thing. And my, we're at the end of the rope, Brother Sister. I hope the rope breaks in a hurry. Peter's got one of the two. I don't care how I get out of here. Just get me out of here, Lord. That's right, 6 feet down or 100 feet up, I don't care. Yes, sir, this is the end. See, look at Revelation 18:22. Revelation 22:18-19. He said, when this perfect message comes, add one word, you get the blank, take away, your name goes out of the book. See, it's this word, brother, sister. Laodicea said, we're not blind, we don't need it. But he said, now if you'd have said you were blind, your sins wouldn't remain. But he said, now you see your sins remain. So I got a sacrifice, hallelujah. Look, I don't care if you got a million sacrifices. I'm not trying to be facetious or vulgar toward what Jesus did. God knows my heart. I'm not trying to be. But you know as well as I do that if a man does not identify with that sacrifice and claim eternal life through that word, the sacrifice avails nothing. It condemns you. So the more that we claim a sacrifice and the more we depart from the word, the greater the condemnation. Where are we standing, brother, sister, this morning? It's a myth. Now listen, that's deception. We talked about the deception. Let's look at unrighteousness now. I'll try to cover it as quick as I can because I know time goes on. Now listen, the word unrighteous is a very strong word. Hold that unrighteous rascal. What's he done? Well, I tell you, he robbed a bank. He beat a poor woman up. He just stood there and that guy wasn't looking in Chicago here, that young Indian kid that was just became a doctor, married a white girl. They didn't shoot him because he married a white girl. An Indian is a Caucasian, actually. He's not black like the African, if you want to be a racist. And I'm not a racist. I just can't stand that stuff. I know there's a difference between us and them, and that difference makes us fear. But you can be a Pole, or a Polak, so to call a Polski. And what happens? The Englishman will hate you for being a Pole, and you might be twice as handsome as he is. We're anything different we're afraid of. We're crazy. We're not racist, really. We're just scared. See? So this kid, this Indian's not. He's a Caucasian, actually. He's in the white class. So if you were racist, you couldn't do anything. But what do these four boys do? They just feel like killing a guy. And he's the first guy they see, so they kill him. So that's not what the Bible's talking of. You don't get deceived by that kind of unrighteousness. Robbing, stealing, mugging, raping, marauding, maligning. That doesn't deceive anybody. You say, this guy killed a man. The judge says, well, now I tell you, I just wonder if he did kill the man. Oh, sir, I saw him. Six of us were there. We grabbed him and held him. Here's the gun. Well, now I just don't know. The jury says, I just don't know. I wonder if it couldn't have been Santa Claus did that. You say, they're nuts. That doesn't deceive anybody. That kind of unrighteousness doesn't deceive anybody. Nobody gets fooled by mugging and raping and robbing and marauding. Nobody does. And nobody runs into it when they hear, oh, Chicago, there's a bad bunch of, say, oh boy, we're going to get a new apartment. Oh boy, can I sell my house? Let me get out of here. You run from that. This they run into because they're fooled by it. What kind of unrighteousness makes people run into it? Religious people, spiritual so-called, they run into it. They're fooled by it. What is it? You follow me? This is the deception that Eve got into. Now listen. Notice what she did. Now watch, please, before God, listen to my word. She acted to bring light, which was according to the promise of God. Wasn't it? Be fruitful and multiply? Well, then shouldn't you be blessed to God for doing it? No. No, sir. She was cursed for doing it. Now listen. She acted to bring life, which was according to the promise of God, but which action or how to do it was not according to the revelation of the Word. Right. God gave Adam a wife in order to reproduce himself. But remember, my brother, my sister, the command to bring forth life was when he made the male and female in one spiritual image of himself. It was when he made the male and female in his own image and they were spiritual beings, he said, bring forth children unto me. Replenish the earth. And when he put him in a body, it was not to bring forth children, it was to till the soil. Right? Right. Then the command to bring forth children was not in the physical, it was in the spiritual. They were to bring forth children by the Spirit of Almighty God. They were to multiply, but not by the flesh. They together were to act in the creative Spirit of Almighty God to bring forth children like themselves. They would act together, but not sexually. Even though, listen, even though they had the means to do it. Yeah, that'll make you stop and think. Oh, glory to God, I'm equipped to do this thing. Oh, said Paul, hallelujah, I can just go down to Asia right now and win them souls to Christ. He said, hold it right there, boy, hold it right there. He ain't going nowhere. Where am I going, Lord? I'll tell you tonight. You got a dream, a vision at night. Here comes a man in Macedonia screaming, come over and help us. Go on down there. Oh, but I got my ticket. Got friends down there. Hey, I got a nice setup. Could build a real swell church. Now, down. Just quiet down. I don't care if you've got the means to build 40 churches. I don't care if you've got the power to set the world on fire. I'm telling you one thing. You go down there. Eve and Adam together had the sexual ability to bring forth children, and God said no. They were to, because the command was given while they were in the Spirit, and the Spirit is the only way to bring forth children. Now remember, our churches are doing exactly the same thing right today. All down through the ages, they have brought forth children, not unto Christ, but unto themselves. And they are giving birth. They are giving birth by corruptible seed. Remember, every child born of sex dies. How can you replenish an earth with dead kids? Replenish the earth. Here's a crop. Death. Here's another crop. Death. Here's another crop. Death. Now, do you think the command of God fell on the ground and died, that they're not going to replenish the earth? The earth is going to be replenished, brother, sister, and God's going to bring them out of the ground. And you're going to see every child that God ordained in the millennium standing right there, brought forth by the Spirit, and not by sex. They died by sex. Doing God a service without His will. Amen. Why don't you love the way the prophet taught? My, I want to tell you, this word doesn't excite you. You just have a little dance, but please dance outside on the sidewalk. Don't do it here. Now, I don't mind a little kind of a happy tippy-toe because you get so happy over the word. But just to shout and scream and try to get the blessing like the other way when there's no reality there in the sense of the unadulterated word, I don't want. I want reality. My brother, my sister, the church has been bringing forth children unto a corrupted birth, to a corrupted death by corruptible seed. Peter himself said, being born again, not of corruptible sperm all, but by the Word of God, which is the true sperm, which lives and abides forever. There are millions of people being born right today into the church through the corrupted creeds and dogmas. They leave the flesh. They leave the world. They leave sin. They get to justification, sanctification, but they bypass the Holy Ghost. They never come into Christ. They are born into a good creed. They're born into a good dogma. And believe me, you can't talk about the church until you talk about morals. I don't care how filthy the Catholic Church has been and is. I don't care how the priests were so terrible. Those monks and those nuns in their covenant, they're not that way now. Don't worry. They cleaned up. I believe if a priest were to touch one of the nurses or sisters in the school, the teaching today, and they found out, they'd run him out. They'd fix him good. In our day, they had to run a priest out of town because he had six illegitimate kids by then. They sent him someplace else. Now, I believe those days are over. I don't believe there's, except for the odd person today that lives in sin, I believe the church has tried to clean up and be gentle and sweet and kind and do all these things. But brother, sister, they're bringing forth their altars are just loaded, and their churches are loaded with a spiritual experience outside the Word of God. You can take communion today and have a spiritual experience. That's right. It'll only last you so long. Just be clean for a while, you go right back again. It won't work. You can speak in tongues, it's the same thing. You can have experience after experience. But brother, sister, unless we're born of the incorruptible Word, we do not have eternal life. I don't care what anybody says. Because I've got to go with God's Word. Now, Peter wasn't saying, look, you've been born, get born again. No, he didn't say that. He said, look, be born again. But be careful how you're born again. Don't be born a corruptible sperm. That'll die. You'll die. Eve died. See? The kids died. You can't have it any other way when it's corruptible. Corruption brings forth corruption. There's only one thing brings forth incorruption, and that's the incorruptible seed. Now, if we got the incorruptible seed of Almighty God, how are we going to miss it? How are we going to miss the resurrection? How are we going to miss the rapture if we've been born of this incorruptible seed? We've got this word in our heart here. How's it going to be done? It can't be done. You can't miss it. Sealed into Almighty God. And then people running around scared of it. How can we be afraid when we're standing on the only vindicated word in the world? If we're afraid of the vindicated word can't do it, then what's going to do it? Well, the whole thing is gone. But God knew it wouldn't go. He said, I'm going to send Elijah, and he'll restore, and he'll bring this to pass. Now listen, in the beginning they were one in spirit when the command was given, so the promise of life is spiritual, not physical, thank God. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Bringing sons by the Spirit, by the Word, was as was done originally, and not by flesh. Now, notice, what God wants done must be done in God's own way. What about church order? How much sin is there amongst us right today because some men turned down church order? I can name, if I want to, right today, the names and the places where men have got into deep sexual sin, turning down church order. We never had that here in this area. It was just a case of something else. But I'm telling you, I have yet to see the church that is not getting into trouble right up to here for turning down church order. One church down church turned down church order. I spoke in the man's church. Right today, they believe in getting liquored up. One man that said he believed this message went out and got drunk. His car got wrecked, and he said he needed it to bring him back to God. He's now denounced the message, denounced the unity of the Godhead, and believes only in Trinitarianism, and has made his apology and writes letters to people. He said, get out of this terrible delusion you're in. Why? They turned down church order. And they said, you can drink liquor and do this and that. I remember years ago a man that used to be my friend after a fashion. He said, what you do in the spirit is different from what you do in the flesh. So therefore, you can live any life you live and still operate spiritual gifts. Now, that's exactly true. You can if you're false anointed. Be my guest. You're going to have women, signs and wonders at the same time. And then someday, if some man comes along, shoots your brains out, good for you, you ask for it. I am not an exponent or proponent for sin of any kind. I hate it. And there's one thing I've learned to hate, and I had no reason to as a kid. I hate the thought of adultery and all those things that go with it. And I know now why, because God called me to preach the Word of God. So I might preach an unadulterated gospel by the process which he gave me through the prophet William Branham, a true servant of Almighty God. He gave you the same commission. You cannot say one thing either. You've got to stay with that word. God wants the gifts of the Spirit and those things done under a church control. You've got to be put in a separate room. Put it on a piece of paper. Try every spirit. Have they done it? They turn from it. Now, listen. Let's trace this further, repeating a little from last night. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. He says, I don't know when I'll see you again, and this is the service for today, so we're just going to take our time, and that's fine. Restaurants are open, and you can always go home and open a tin of soup. So, you don't worry about that. At least I'm not going to worry, but if you do have to go, it's all right. Don't worry me. Certainly leave without me being offended. Now listen. It says here in chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. And then it says in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Doesn't say righteous, unrighteous now, so it doesn't commit sin. But two different things you're talking about here. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, in this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Now, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. See, now this is the result of unrighteousness, the killing. If you're truly righteous, you'll love. not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now notice, it doesn't say that the killing was an unrighteous act. It says what Cain did led to the killing. And what he did was the unrighteous act that led to the killing. Now let's go over here to the book of Genesis chapter 4 and see what it says. What those two acts were. Now, in process of time, verse 3, Cain brought the fruit of the ground and offered the Lord. What was he doing? Worshipping God. Worshipping God. Abel also brought the firstling of the flock. What's he doing? Worshipping God. Now, what happened? God refused Cain for worshiping him. He accepted Abel for worshiping him. Two acts. Two acts of worship, right? Now that's right. Before God, you know I'm telling you the truth. Two acts of worship. One was called unrighteous. One was called righteous. Now the unrighteous act that Cain did caused him to kill his brother. Well, he did. Now here's your beginning. All Abel did was love his brother. Didn't defend himself. Just died for it. Now what's an unrighteous act? See what God said. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. A sin offering. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now listen, God told Cain that no matter how wonderful his offering was, and remember, he gave a proper offering, because the first fruit offering is what he gave. That's Bible. But what does the Greek Septuagint say? Thou hast offered right. He sure did. It's a right offering. It's in the Bible. He ain't the sick is right. Yet he said, you work iniquity. Raising the dead is right. Yet he said, you work iniquity. He commanded you to speak in tongues. Yet he said, you work iniquity. He commanded the first fruit offering. But he said, it's iniquity. Why? Because he misinterpreted the Word of God. I'll prove it to you. 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, verse 15. Let's just see this here. Prove it right by the Bible. I don't say one thing I can't prove with the Bible. If I do, you catch me on it. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you. I stand to be corrected. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You can't be approved unto God unless you study. You can't. I don't care what anybody says. Amen. Now, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because you rightly divide the word. Now, what if you misdivide the word in your study? Then you're not approved of God as a workman. Cain was not approved as a workman. He was called unrighteous for what he did. Now, this is what John said. He said, now I'll prove you. Let me show you. Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 4 now. I quoted this morning before Brother Odin was here. He was talking to folk upstairs. Hebrews 4, 11, chapter 4, chapter 11, verse 4. Listen to it. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, if Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, then Cain's was excellent. Right? Well, that's right. You can't have more excellent unless there's something excellent there. Now, if I've got just a bunch of a heap of old clay here, that's not excellent. That's just a heap of clay. But if I've got a lovely statue out of clay, I say, excellent. Then I say, oh, I never saw this one. This is more excellent. I've got something to compare by. Now, what Cain did was right. But it was a misdivision of the word, and so therefore he was not approved. Now, when he was not approved, what happened? He was ashamed. And he rose up against his brother and killed him. Now, remember, Paul was not killed because of what he did. It's how he taught. Jesus was not killed because of what he did. It was how he taught. What did they teach? They both taught the divided word according to the Holy Ghost, and they divided, and they died for it. Now, here is the difference at the end time. Here is the difference in the bride. the world never does worship God according to the correct division of the word as given by Revelation. Only the bride does it. This is why he said in Joel, I've given you this food for your righteousness. You don't eat dead manna, brother, sister. I'm not interested in Luther anymore. Now, I don't despise it. The life has been coming up. But it's finished back there. I don't despise Wesley. The life has left it. It's coming up. I don't despise Pentecost. Oh, I get very mad at times, and it seems like I despise them. But I really don't mean to. No, not for a minute. Or to scoff, although I guess I'm guilty at times. I don't want to be guilty of those things. They had their day. It's dead manna. The light has moved on. You're coming right up to where? The top of the pyramid, where the head will absolutely fit without a contradiction upon that last little bit. We're at the stage of brotherly love. Tomorrow, when the latter rain has completely fallen on the bride, and Christ has come down to unite with her, not physically now, that's in the air, but unites with her by the Spirit, love and faith working by love will seal every single inlet to the soul, and all will see and taste and touch and smell and hear is God. Absolutely. You watch and see what happens. The bride will have, thus saith the Lord. She'll be the living manifested word of God. That's right. She will be watching see. Why? Because a little living group here, brother, sister, is harvest. We, the same as those that are in the grave. And we are going to manifest the actual wheat that went in. Because God said He's going to have a harvest. We're in that day right now, see? We're coming into it. Yes, sir. Now notice. Jesus said, in vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the commandments of men. That's right. Paul was called a heretic because of the way he worshiped Almighty God. Jesus didn't condemn Israel's doing. He condemned their believing. They had turned down the word of the hour. They died for not believing the word of the day, according to John 8 and 24, listen to what he said. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for you believe not that I am. Doesn't say he, that's not in the Greek. He said, you don't believe I'm the I am. You're going to die for your believing. You don't die for what you're doing. You don't die for what you do. You die for your believing. By grace you're saved through faith. And that not a work. Now if my faith is reprobate, where will I stand in the judgment? Now, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. Quick as we can. Here. 9 and 10. Whose coming is after the working of Satan. With all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. See, that's the whole sum total lies in those. Now listen. All deceivableness of unrighteousness. Where is it? It is in them that perish. Now notice, not in him, the Antichrist, but in them. Because if it weren't for them, there couldn't be a him. See, everybody thinks, oh, Antichrist coming. Oh, Antichrist coming. Oh, shut up. It's the rotten church that's coming that brings the Antichrist up. They build the image. He doesn't come down and say, I'm going to start a system here now, bless God, and I'm going to come around and fool all you guys. They've already been fooled. You don't get eggs without a chicken. The Antichrist is the egg, and the church is the chicken. It's in them that perish. See, death is already in them. See, death is in the church. And it brings forth the prince of death, and they crown death thinking that he is life. What was it brought let death to Eve? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She mixed the word of God. She perverted it. what is going to bring death in the church? The mixed, adulterated Word of God. What has life in the bride? The unadulterated Word of God. That's her life. My Word is spirit and life. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Word, is one spirit. See? This does not make God dirty because we've been bad. It makes us as perfect as God. We stand in His righteousness. See? Now ask yourself the question, where did this great Antichrist come from? He came from them. He comes out of them, the church. He is one of them, the church. Now listen, just like Judas came out of the Jews, but acted like he was one with Christ. But now listen, where did Judas go for his authority? That'll tell you every time. Hey, brother, you've got a great ministry. How do you stand on the Word? Glory to God, I baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, now, he said, of course, if there's some idiot among you that, you know, believes the other way, I'll condescend. Well, I'll stretch it a little. Haven't you seen him do it? I'm not putting on. I know what I'm talking about. I saw a guy in a meeting in Indiana, and he baptizes either way you want it. And you know what? Those people get so absolutely carried away by his false ministry that they don't wait to change their clothes. They walk through that pool as fast as he can baptize them, and then they fall flat on their face on the ground. And you know what happened next? The people supposedly have the Holy Ghost walk plump on their faces with their shoes. Well, now, if you can see the Holy Ghost in that, you got kind of, you're sweeter than I am by a long stretch of the imagination. I ain't going to compete with you, brother. You got me hands down. I see nothing but fanaticism of a terrible degree. I see perversion. There is only one way to baptize. There is only one way to conduct any service, and that is in the decorum of the Spirit of Almighty God, of reverence, to hold up the truth and that Word, if necessary, die for it. I'm a little sarcastic, but I'll prove to you Paul the Apostle was too. My preaching is not for the sake of sarcasm. My biting comments are for the sake of revealing to you exactly where we stand, unless we stand with Him. Because I'm not interested in carrying on a conversation or anything with anybody for the sake of sarcasm. That's not it at all. Not for one minute. Now listen, the authority of Judas was the Jews. Where is the authority of the church except in their denominational husbands, their creeds and their dogmas? But where is ours? We have only faith, brother, sister, in a revealed Word of God. That's the whole authority we've got. I stand with a vindicated man as you do. The church produces the Antichrist, and he comes up out of them because they leave the vindicated truth, the authority of the revealed Word of God, because Paul said, obey them which have the rule over you, who teach to you the Word of God. The people themselves produce the beast because they refuse the Word, which God revealed by vindication, and then they go on and worship anyway what they call God. They have a beast theology from the very Garden of Eden, as illustrated in Genesis 3 and 1, 4 and 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, 2 Peter 2, 12 to 14. Right there you'll see the beast theology, and it ends up with natural brute beasts to be taken and destroyed. And they're right in the church. That's right. That's the Bible. Can't help it. It's just what the Word says. You mean to tell me I'm so-and-so? Look, I don't tell anybody anything. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just the rottenest guy living. And it's going to be the grace of God to take me through. I got no pride. I'm not trying to say, oh, man, I got something. You ain't got nothing. Oh, brother, we're it and you're it and you're not. Oh, no. No, no. God forbid. God forbid. I just got to preach the Word. You got to believe that Word is given by a prophet. And when you do, brother, sister, it makes a very strong line of demarcation. Don't step over that line. Just like Eve and Cain, they do it their own way. Now listen, how? They take the provided Word and the provided power, and they pervert them both to their own end. That's absolutely the word of God coming to you, and you know it. They take the provided word, they take the provided power, and they bring you right into captivity of bondage. When did William Branham ever say, come and join my church? When did, listen, a taxi cab driver talking to a friend of mine one day said, you know, I know William Branham. Said, you know something about him? You know, I was healed in his meeting. But you know, he never did tell me to come and visit his church. William Branham didn't have anything to give those people. It was already given. If they hadn't been blinded, they'd have been right down there saying, brother, what do you got? We got a friend in Canada. She's still groping in a way. She still needs a lot of help. But she's got, I think, helped her where she's really stable now. One day she was going down the street and the Lord spoke to her, kind of said, you ought to know something about William Branham, what he's teaching. Look at his ministry. He stands for something. Why don't you find out what it's all about? And she couldn't find anything about it. One day she talked to my wife's brother. And she said, how's your sister doing anyway? Well, she's down the States. And, well, what's her husband do? He's a preacher. What denomination? He said, well, no denomination. He works with Brother Branham. She said, what did you say? Well, he said, well, he works with Brother Branham. She said, about did a dance on the sidewalk. She said, praise God, I've been trying to find out where Brother Branham is. He said, give me their address. See, God spoke. He said, you ought to know something about that man. Now, he didn't talk to the taxi driver. Didn't talk to the people in town. They just saw a little old preacher that every time he came, somebody left the hospital because he got healed. That's all they knew. But they didn't say, this minnow fella, what is there about you? Now, you and I know that we weren't in that category. When we saw him, something clicked and said, you better watch that man. And don't let him out of your sight. That man's got something. See? That's the way it was with Jesus. That's the way it was with John. That's the way it was with Luther. That's the way it was with Wesley. Every church messenger and all. See? Now, just like Cain, they do it their own way. Carnal is mixed with spiritual, and they are devoid of the Holy Ghost, because the Bible said you cannot compare spiritual and carnal. It's got to be a divine revelation of that word. Let me talk to you about it. A little friend of mine in Pennsylvania has a gas station. He's gone now, but he had a gas station. Up there, they've got one of those teen farms, you know, where they have the kids come in, you know, with the alcohol and, you know, the drugs and all. And this boy said, praise God. He said, I want to attend. One of the boys in the farm, little preacher guy. He said, you know, he said, that there's a little Catholic nun has got born again. She's got full of the Holy Ghost. And man, are we happy. And the fellow knowing these things, he said, say, he said, tell me. He said, I suppose now that she's got the Holy Ghost, and I suppose she doesn't confess to the priest anymore. Well, he said, yeah, but she does. He got him on a couple more points. Well, I'll tell you one thing. She sure got the Holy Ghost and loved the Lord. Now, let's just rationalize it. Here I'm a Pentecostal guy. And I speak in tongues. I got the Holy Ghost, I claim, by speaking in tongues. And I come across this sweet little nun and I say, Sister Ford, I'm certainly glad that you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know that you know that the Pope is not infallible. And she says, on the contrary, the Pope is a successor to the Lord Jesus Christ through Peter, and he is infallible. I said, who? And I said, now, I get a real shock. But I said, oh, but then I console myself. Oh, I say, well, now, that's a little mystery here I don't quite understand, but it's not really bad. The thing is this, I got the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, and she spoke in tongues, so she's got the Holy Ghost, so evidently it's pretty good. Now I say, well, sister, praise God anyway. There are little points that we just differ on. That's not too bad. But there's one thing about it. You certainly don't go to confess to the priest anymore and tell him your sins, and he forgives you. She says, on the contrary, I go all the more, and it's such joy that he forgives my sins. I walk in great grace. And I say, I'm getting really confused now. And I say, I'm really ready to interpret it. And I say, something says, now just a minute. You got the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, and she got the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, so she's baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, so you better watch it. Now you see what's happened? Carnal and spiritual are being compared. I don't care if she raises the dead. I don't care if she danced the Spirit and touches a white hot stove or kisses it and goes away without a burn. I don't care if she picks up serpents. I don't care if she can say, I'm God and can prove it. If she's off that word, she's as dead as the devil is, and you know it as well as I do. For many shall come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, do not cast out devils in thy name, and thy name prophesied in one word. And he said, depart me, I never knew you. You that work iniquity. What is iniquity? Brother, sister, the Bible said at the end time they will not know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And I've showed you here again this afternoon like I showed last night. They don't know the difference. They believe they're righteous, but as long as they are off of that word and they worship God with the will worship, when there has been the opportunity to rightly divide it and they turn it down and go on their way, they are as lost can be. They will never make the bride. And if they make the tribulation, they will die for their faith before they worship the beast. Then they'll come up and God will give them eternal life at the very end time. Listen, my brother, sister, the whole thing at the end time becomes so perverted that God gives gifts to the reprobate. Let's turn to the book of Psalm 68. My, you sure ain't going to love me for keeping this along, but it's all right. You may hear this tape over and say, I'm sure glad I sat it out. You may even hear the tape over again, for all I know. It just might be that full of grace. Now, you sure got to be full of grace to do that. All right, we're going to go to Psalm. It's the 68th chapter of Psalm, and it's the 18th verse. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men. What were those gifts from men? Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, the fivefold ministry. Now listen. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Now listen. The word for rebellion in the Greek is apostasy. Yea, to the apostate, thou hast also given gifts. Now, where's this taken from? The apostate were the Korahs, the Dathans, and the Abirams that withstood Moses. As Jannes and Jambres and Korah and Biram withstood Moses, so they will do at the end time. And they'll have gifts of the Holy Ghost genuine while they do it. And God will be amongst them. But he won't be in them. Now, that's thus saith the Lord, because you know it, that's the word. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord like Brother Branham. I'm saying, thus saith the Lord, because God wrote this book. He claims authorship. And he said the apostate will receive gifts. And Brother Branham said, when I leave this scene, remember Henry, you know it. He said, you watch them, how they'll spring up all over the land like hair on a dog's back almost. You got them, brother, sister. Brother Branham came here like a Joshua to place the church so they'd have the ministries that latter rain tried to come into, and they couldn't do it. When he tried to place them, instead, what did he do? They all tried to raise wheat like he was doing. And instead of helping him carry the ball, they ran interference for the devil. So Brother Branham couldn't do the work. I've heard himself say concerning certain people around him, he said, it's men like them that keep me from bringing out my true ministry. If even those around him that said they believed him, hanging on his coattails could stop his true ministry coming up, brother, sister, which it did. He just said so. I can name names, but never mind it, but I can prove my point. I got the witnesses. And what about those who won't even listen? So, well, I've got something to you. Got what? I had one of those ministries. It sure wasn't his. I had error. I had margin of error. There won't be any service or worship that is accepted by God except through the bride when he makes up those jewels. Remember what I said last night? They spake often one to another, and the Lord heard. They weren't praying to God. They were talking to each other. And what he heard, he liked and wrote a book on it. What they were saying amongst themselves is what God put in the record and made them up as end-time brides. There's only one bride, and they speak a peculiar language. They talk like the prophet. Amen. I sure like that thought, because that's the Bible. We're at the end time. It is almost too late. Even now, it's almost too late. We need to test every word we say and every thought we think and everything we do by the word which was revealed by vindication and stick to it until every member, no matter where he is, begins to walk alone with God, as did Enoch, because Enoch walked alone with God. Yes, the great lie has gone forth. The ecumenical move will soon produce their Messiah. Oh, yeah. To lead them to the pit. We shall not surely die, but be changed for the rapture, is the deceived faith of millions, while millions more cry out, peace is coming on earth, the reign of God is starting because we're all brothers. Yeah. But it's all over. The truth has been vindicated, and the people showed they wanted the lies, and will now produce the liar, because that's all lies can produce, and they will be destroyed. But thank God, we'll escape like those who left a burning city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't want to be like Lot's wife. I don't even want to turn back. And I don't want to be like Lot. He said, Lord, just let me stick around for a small city. I want to be one of those who said, dump the whole thing and let's start over. I don't want to walk upon the ash of the wicked. But neither did Noah want to walk upon the bones of those that died. But that was the will of God. When Noah left this earth by the flood, God laid down that layer of silt, and he walked upon the carcass of the wicked. So in the millennium, when the fire purifies this earth, the volcanic ashes break forth and cover this earth with a new layer of humus and fine, fertile soil, out of which will grow the good things of God that the bride can eat, and she'll eat. She will. She'll pick up food, shake hands, love each other, be associates, have a great time in that great place. Her brother, sister will walk on those ashes. It doesn't give us any sense of pride to do it. In fact, it's a pretty horrible thought when you want to think of it in its right perspective, be serious. But remember this, it's not a threat, it's a promise. It's not a threat, it's a promise of God. I believe God is true, and I believe God is just. And I believe, brother, sister, what I preached this morning, the absolutely the Word of God based upon the prophet, what he taught. All deceivableness of unrighteousness. Men and women deceived. Worshiping God. Crying out to God. Signs and wonders and miracles going on. But in the midst of deception, unrighteous yet running into it. No wonder Brother Banner stood up there so many times, just like with fear and trembling, and said, shaking his finger, beware, spirit's so close. Now, if your minds aren't settled, just remember this one thing. Answer me one question. When the Bible said, thou art the anointed cherub that covered to Satan, what was he anointed with? What was Judas anointed with? There's only one anointing, brother, sister. You know something? There is nothing in this world that isn't real and good and perfect. Even the devil, because God made it that way. What happened? They put to a wrong use the right thing. And there's nothing but perversion. And perversion is the secret that we know and nobody else knows. And this is why the world will follow the beast and die. You follow me? That's the truth of God. May God help us to know it. Now, as I said this morning already, if you want the last night's tape, which is really a real basic foundation for today, we'll be sure glad to try to get it to you so you can hear it. But if you've caught enough today, that's just fine by me, because I don't pretend to know it all, and you know nothing. I know you know a great deal, and just maybe this message has just been the kind of message I hope it is, not to teach so much, to open your eyes and say, Brother Dale said something good and new, and I sure like it, but it's just that we pooled our faith together, and you say, well, bless God, that's exactly the way I believed it all along, and it's just a confirmation of faith added to faith, until one day this little old bride's faith is going to be so strong, they couldn't hold her back. She just won't keep her feet on the ground, that's all. And that's the way it is. So the Lord bless you. Shall we rise then? At this time to be dismissed, we'll ask Brother Richard Abacola to dismiss us with a word of prayer.